The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Speaking of Mother's Day, he of the Hawk and Garden Centre family, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Pat. And what a better way to mark Mother's Day than a flowering plant.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people give cut flowers to the mother in their lives. But a plant, well, you get better value, don't you?
Well, you know me, Pat. I always say that plants are for a lifetime and cut flowers are for a moment. So if you want to mark Mother's Day, I think something that's in flower at this time of year, remember, it will flower this Mother's Day, but every Mother's Day after that. And plants that come to my mind are plants like magnolia. There's a beautiful magnolia called Susan that's in flower at the moment. It's got purpley wine flowers, really large blooms. It will flower for another 6 to 8 weeks, and it will flower every year at this time of year, Magnolia Susan. It only grows to about 6 or 7 feet in height. It'll grow in a pot or container. It makes a splash of colour every Mother's Day. Camellias as well, Pat. The Lady Campbell is a lovely variety. Camellias have been flowering for probably 6 weeks now, but they will continue for another 6 to 8 weeks. And again, camellias always flower through that Mother's Day period. So there are two particular plants if you want to some instant colour. Lilacs, for me, we mentioned them in last week's programme. I think we had a question in on lilacs, and it triggered my mind that lilacs are an old cottage garden plant. I associate them with my grandmother in particular, who is a great grower of lilacs, and they come in so many different colours. They'll flower in April and May, but this is the time of year to plant them. And roses, particularly, there's a lovely rose called Mum in a Million, which is, if you plant it at this weekend, it will come into flower in June. It's highly scented. It's got beautiful cut flowers that you can cut and bring indoors during the summer period. And it repeats flowering right through until late autumn from the middle of June. That's a rose called Mum in a Million. So mark Mother's Day by planting or giving a plant that you can plant out into the garden soil.
Now, let's talk about the gardening questions, because we have loads coming in. With regard to an infestation of small winged black flies in the soil of my cheese plant, I've tried to eradicate them by changing the soil and repotting, spraying with bug spray. However, they are still around the plant and fly around the house and even by your face. That's from Marion.
How annoying, Marion. Yes, so these are fungus gnats. These are naturally, we often call them compost flies, Pat, because they generally hibernate or sow their eggs in compost, and they live on the decaying matter within compost in pots indoors. Now, it's not going to affect the Swiss cheese plant, however, it is annoying. So Marion can do two things. First of all, cut back on the watering of the Swiss cheese plant. I would only water it from the base, allow the top surface, that's where the gnat flies actually live, in the top 2 to 3 centimetres of soil. So if that's moist, you'll encourage them to breed, and the recycle, the lifestyle cycle will continue. So you need to break that by allowing the compost to dry. And the second thing is to put a layer of grit on the top of the compost, so that acts as a physical barrier. And if you do that, you break the life cycle and you end the fungus gnats in the compost.
Next one, we're looking to plant about 60 metres of hedging on one boundary of our property. We're deciding between Eleagnus or Portuguese laurel. Which would Porrick recommend, and when is the best time to plant and bare rooted or potted? That's from Tony.
Well, Tony, we're still in the time of year for planting bare root plants. It's the best time to plant March. You've got right up until probably the third or fourth week of March to plant bare root plants. And they're cheaper to buy at this time of year. You space the plants 18 inches apart. Eleagnus abengii is a plant I recommend for exposed areas. So if you're living in a coastal, open, windy area, then you won't beat Eleagnus. It makes a fabulous evergreen hedge. Portuguese laurel, I consider that part an urban hedge, because it needs really good soil, it needs shelter, and you know it needs to be minded. So depending on the exposure that Tony has in the garden, really, you know, that determines the choice. Now, there are others like Griselinia, Escalonia. There are plenty of other hedging plants that Tony could consider as well. My advice really is maybe to take a picture of the area, bring it into your local garden centre, and they will recommend a suitable hedge.
The creation of a rose garden from scratch, the intended area, is currently under grass. That's from Niamh, who wants, you know, the steps she must take.
Yeah, well, it's a great time of year, Niamh, first of all, for planting roses. A rose that's planted any time over the next couple of weeks will come into flower this summer and will flower for up to 30 or 40 years if you look after them. The key thing is to get rid of the existing grass that's there. So you need either to dig that out or use a proprietary weed control to get rid of the grass. That's essentially important. The second thing is to improve the soil by adding some organic matter. You may have your own garden compost or something like well-rotted farmer manure or mushroom compost should be added into the soil because roses are hungry feeders. After that, it's a matter of visiting the local garden centre, picking a selection of roses. I tend to like planting roses of the same variety. So clusters, maybe five or six of the same variety because you get a nice uniformity. So something like trumpet rose is really nice. Mum in a Million that I mentioned, but there's loads of different varieties. But do get the soil preparation right and we're in the perfect time for planting.
Could Porrick recommend a tree species for windswept coastal areas that would mature into something quite substantial? We're about 8 kilometres from the west coast, but I've only noticed over the past few years the lack of tall trees in the area. That's from Peter.
Absolutely. Well, Peter, that's a good observation. And often you'll see white thorn, but they'll be leaning in away from the wind damaged. The best tree for seaside open areas, because you've got to consider the wind and also the salt. So there's a native Irish tree actually called whitebeam, Sorbus aria lutescens. It's related to our native rowan tree. It's got silver hairy leaves, hence it'll tolerate the salt and the wind. And it makes a beautiful tree up to about 3 or 4 metres in height with a nice open upright structure. So that's Sorbus aria lutescens, commonly called whitebeam, and that's the best tree for seaside areas.
Now, our box hedge is losing leaves and progressively becoming bare for the last 2 years. Is this box blight and is there a remedy? And a second question, can I lay a raised bed on concrete or does it have to be created on bare soil? That's from Carmel.
Well, Carmel, it's better on soil because you need to ensure that there's good drainage. So it depends on the height of the raised bed. If it's going to be, say, 2 feet or maybe 3 feet high, then a concrete bed is perfectly fine underneath. Put in some grit or gravel right at the base to allow for proper drainage. But generally speaking, raised beds are placed on soil, on a soil area or grass area. In relation to the box, this is box blight patch, very common on boxwood, particularly after a very wet seasons over the last number of years. Yellowing of the foliage goes orange in colour. You need to feed that boxwood in the middle of March and use a treatment called Top Boxes. You'll get it in your local garden centre. It's a green pill. You mix it in water, you apply it to the foliage, and that helps to control the disease of box blight.
Next one, I've lots of pots and window boxes to plant up for Easter. Which flowering plants should I choose to give me long-lasting colour?
Oh, super time to plants, and there's a great choice available at the moment. So off the top of my head, plants that are in flower at the moment are campanulas, double daisies, spring and summer flowering pansies, violas, all the primulas are in flower and will flower for many weeks yet. They'd be probably some of the best paths. So pop into your local garden centre. There's loads of colour available and most of that colour will flower from now right up until early June until we switch into the summer bedding season. And they're all frost hardy, so they can go out of doors.
Jim wants to know, is there a disease affecting Irish hawthorn at the moment? And should I avoid imported ones?
Absolutely. So white thorn is in the Rosacea family. It suffers from fire blight. And there were, if memory serves me right, there were 17 cases of fire blight last year. So fire blight it devastates white thorn and anything in the Rosacea family, like apples, pears, rowan trees, for example, cotoneaster are common cotoneaster plants. So when you're planting white thorn, make sure that when you purchase it in your local garden centre, that it comes from an Irish source, that it's grown here in Ireland, and that they're Irish plants that you're planting into the soil. That avoids the risk of bringing fire blight into the country from imported plants.
Could you ask Porrick if I've already missed the window to move a 2-year-old willow hedge?
No, your willow is still deciduous at the moment. If it's only 2 years old, it's a relatively young plant and willow transplants very, very easily. I'd give it a light trimming back, dig it out of the soil and replant it. This weekend would it be a perfect time to do that.
Another one, how do I get rid of dock leaves in my flower bed? The roots are too long to dig out and I don't want to use anything that'll kill the surrounding flowers. That's from Joanne in Cork.
Well, Joanne, I mean, they're not too difficult to dig out. I mean, generally a typical dock will have roughly a root of about a foot in depth. So, I mean, the best way is to, with a garden fork, is the ideal way to dig the actual physical root out. They're not too difficult to get out at this time of year. They're actively growing, so they're easy to see where they are. And that's the best way to remove them.
And a final one. Can you ask Porrick why my peace lily never flowers again after the initial white flowers die off? I get some growth of new flowers, but they're always green, not white. That's from Anne.
Oh, well, it sounds, Anne, like it's in too much of a shaded area. Peace lilies like light shade, but at this time of year with the low levels of sunlight, I'd keep it in a bright location. So somewhere like a patio door, a conservatory, a bright windowsill, keep it in that location and the flowers will be white.
Very good. Porrick Corcoran, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.